Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Masechas Sanhedrin Lamed Beis. We begin a new Perek Ravi. Echad dinei mamona, says the Mishnah, whether we are speaking about monetary litigations, ve'echad dinei nefashis, or capital punishment, court cases. Either way, we have to apply due process, bedrisha uvechakira. So we have to cross-examine the witnesses properly, ask them general questions, very detailed questions, to confirm their story. So whether it's this or that, you have to apply the same rigorous process. Shenemar mishpat echad yelachem. We apply the same process, whether it's dinei mamonos or dinei nefashos. Now Rashi brings that by dinei nefashos, it clearly says that derisha v'chakira is applied. V'derashta v'chakarta, it's a pasuk in Dvarim Yud Gimel. And likewise, the Mishnah will apply that to dinei mamonos based on this pasuk, Mishpat, Echad, Yolachem, the same exact system applies to both tracks, Dinei Mamonos and Dinei Nefashos. But we have very many, about 8 or 10 differences, distinctions between the process applied to Dinei Mamonos or Dinei Nefashos. Mabein, Dinei, if when it comes to Drisha v'Chakira, they're both equal, so what is the difference? What are the distinctions between the two processes? And there were very many. Ma bein dinei mamonos l'dinei nefashos. So firstly, in terms of the number of dayanim that have to convene, dinei mamonos b'shloisha, right? Monetary issues are settled by 3 dayanim, as we had back in the Beis Amid Alach, Beis Amid Beis, we discussed it in great detail. But dinei nefashos require a full Sanhedrin of 23, v'dinei nefashos b'esim b'shloisha, as was learned back in the Beis as well. Next difference, dinei mamonos paischin. So when the bezin initiates the maso matan, deliberation process, they'll begin by voicing their opinion one way or the other, whether in defense of the fellow of the baal din or against him. So they can start either positively or negatively in terms of how they open up and how they voice their initial reaction to the testimony of the witnesses. You can go either way. Dinei mamonos poischin bein l'schus bein l'chayva, but when it comes to dinei nefashos, they are poischin l'schus. We initiate by voicing our hope that in fact this fellow will be vindicated. Vein poischin l'chayva, as opposed to voicing our position to him and predicting his chayva, him turning guilty. Dinei mamonos, another difference is, but when it comes to dinei mamonos, how do we tip the scale of the judge, of the dayanim? How do we rule by majority? Just one dayan is enough. There's one judge on this side more than on that side, then the side wins, whether it's to his benefit or to the litigant's detriment, it doesn't matter. Majority rules. So dinei mamonos, matin ben api echad, one judge is enough to tip the scale. Bein l'schus, bein l'chayva, so it's, let's say, 2-1. Either way, we follow the majority. V'dinei nefashos, matan al pi echad l'schus. By dinei nefashos, true. If he's being vindicated, so there's one more judge on the vindication, on the vindicator side of things, then he'll win. Then he'll be deemed innocent. But v'al pi shnayim l'chayva, in terms of considering him guilty, you need 2 dayanim on the guilty side, 2 more than the innocent side. So it has to be tipped by 2 dayanim. This is based on psukim that we had back in the first parak. Another point, dinei mamonos machzirin. So when it comes to dinei mamonos, even after the bezin had already finished the process, issued their verdict, then they discover some new evidence, some new, twist that could undo their verdict. You can do that. Machzirin bein l'schus, bein l'chayva, whether it helps them or hurts them. Either way. Dinei nefashos, machzirin l'schus. So let's say they considered him guilty regarding dinei nefashos. They condemned him to misa, and then they discovered a reason to undo that and to exonerate him. We do that. but not the other way around. Let's say they exonerated him, and then they decided, we actually seem to have made a mistake. Let's undo that and give him misa. We don't do that. Too late. Another point. Dine mamunus hakoyl malamdin schus v'chayva. By dine mamunus, anybody, even a talmid sitting there, who's not really part of the bezin arrangement, he can actually contribute. He can have his input, voice his opinion, whether to defend the person or to consider him guilty. But by dine nefashis hakoyl malamdin schus. Yeah, everybody's invited to contribute to his defense. Ve'en hakoyl malamdin chayva. But not to his detriment. Only the dayanim can do that. Only the certified judge. Another point, dinei mamonos, amalamet chayva, malamet zchus, malamet zchus, malamet chayva. If a dayan had initially expressed his position against a litigant, right, consider him guilty, he can turn around and say, you know what, I'm changing my mind, I want to go zchus. Amalam Batzchus can say, well, no, I consider him guilty. So even during the deliberation process, they can, switch tracks and reverse their positions. But Dinei Nefash is, no, Amalam Batchoy v'Amalam Batzchus. We're not speaking about at the time of Gemara Din. At that point, you just express your position, whether it's to help the person or to hurt him. But we're speaking during the actual Maso Matam, when they're still deliberating. They're still debating amongst themselves. So we're trying to save this person. The pasuk says, "Vitzilu eda." We have to make all effort to defend the man, right? So if you're a malamad chayva, if you initially took the position that he's guilty, malamad chos, you can turn around and say, actually, I want to switch tracks. I want to defend him. But you can't do in the reverse. Aval malamad chos, if a dayan initially expressed a position in favor of the condemned of this person. In question, you can't turn around and say, actually I want to switch tracks, I want to take the guilty side during the deliberation process. And the Gemara Rashi explains, because we're trying to push you. Try to maintain that position of schus. See if you can still work it out. Maybe you can still come up with something to defend him. So give it all you got. Of course, at the end of the day, at the end of the process, if you still want to switch, of course we have to accept it. That's pretty simple, but we're speaking during the process, during the maso matan. We want you to stick to your zechus position as much as possible, as long as we can get you to do that. Another difference: dinei mamonos danan b'yayim v'garmin b'layla. By dinei mamonos, they start the din Torah by day, during daytime, and they can actually conclude it at night. There's no problem with that. But dinei nefashos danan b'yayim. By dinei nefashos, we begin and end during daytime, which the Gemara will discuss. And one more point, dinei mamonos, garmin bay b'yayim, bein l'schus bein l'chayva. When it comes to dinei mamonos, we will conclude during that very same day. It's a one-day trial, whether we're going to rule with him or against him. So you can do a one-day trial. We don't have to leave it overnight. But by dinei nefashos, we want to give you an extra opportunity to really delve through the process and, chew through the topic really well. And therefore it says, goyimrin bay b'yayim l'schus. If the bezin is going to exonerate him, so they can do a same-day trial. But when we see it's going the other way, we want to give them some more time to consider their positions. And they have to leave it overnight. If it's going to be l'chayva, we have to wait till the next day. And therefore, says the Mishnah, because of this halacha, that it's going to be a two-day trial, l'fichach, ain't done in l'ibar of Shabbos, l'ibar of Yom Tov. We can't initiate a dinei nefashos process, erev Shabbos or erev Yom Tov, because just in case we're going to rule against him, we have to give it some extra time. We have to make the Gemar Din tomorrow. And we can't do Misa tomorrow, right? Because you can't do Misa's Bezdin on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So we avoid this type of thing on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. Dinei Mamonos Hatumas Vataharis. In cases of Dinei Mamonos, or in cases where a person has a question, something is Tamei or Torah, and he comes to the Bezdin. So how do the Dayanim express their opinion? In what order is it done? Maschilim and Agadol begin with the Chief Justice, the Bezdin. And then we go down the list to the lower ranking members and hear their opinions and go with the majority rule. Dine nefashis, however, maschilim natsad, we can't start with the chief justice because the pasuk said leisana al riv, and it's spelled without a yud, so it could be learned al rav. And this is a pasuk referring to dine nefashis, not meant to oppose the opinion of the av bezin, of the most senior or chashuv member of the bezin. So you can't start from the older one because then they cannot go against him. So we start from the side, meaning we start with the lower ranking members and then work our way up to the top. Hakol k'sher l'odin dinei mamonos, anybody, pretty much anybody can be involved in as a dayan by dinei mamonos, but ve'en hakol k'sherin l'odin dinei nefashos. In terms of dinei nefashos, you have to qualify. You have to be el kohanim or levim, stop, and then be Yisraelim, only certain ones. Hamasin l'kuna, those who are of the status that they can marry into a kohen's family. So they can marry their daughter to a kohen. Right, so it can't be a mamzer or that type of thing. Or ger, has to be a miyuchas. Okay, so we have the opening statement of the Mishnah that when it comes to drisha v'chakira, in terms of investigations and cross examinations, that process applies to dinei mamonos just as dinei nefashos. But we have many, many differences between the two processes as we have learned in the Mishnah. Asks the Gemara on that first statement. You mean dinei mamonos? Mi ba'inan drisha v'chakira? You mean drisha v'chakira is applied to dinei mamonos and we're going to investigate all the details and challenge the Eidim and cross-examine them? Really? V'raminu, we have a kasha. From a b'raisa, shtar shezmanoi kosev v'echad b'nisim b'shmita. We have a shtar, a loan document. Shtar chayiv, dated Aleph Nisan during the seventh year, which is Shemitah. Okay, so ostensibly it sounds like the loan took place on that. Suddenly new Edom show up and say, one second, you Edom that signed this document, allegedly having witnessed a loan taking place, Echad b'Nisan on Shnas HaShemitah, in this and this location, what are you talking about? On that very day, you were with us at a very different location. How could you testify about the event taking place and described in the shtar on that date? But on that very day, Aleph B'Nisan, the date in the shtar, you were with us. You kept us company at a different location. That's called Edim Zaymimin. They're plotters. They've been discovered to be plotters. No, shtar kosher, edim kosher. We say the shtar is fine, the edim are kosher. No problem. Why? Chayshina, because we can suggest shema ichru, because maybe the event actually took place a month earlier, Aleph Ba'adar, in this location, and they were really there, they witnessed it, but they delayed, they postponed the writing of the shtar until a month later, Aleph B'Nisan, and they wrote it with that date, ostensibly that the loan took place on that day, which really wasn't true, it took place a month earlier. But as we're going to learn later, it's really okay, it's still kosher when the date on the shtar is sort of post-dated past the event. It's okay. So instead of assuming that the Edom actually witnessed the loan on Aleph B'Nisan, which they were now disproven, they were now just overturned because the other Edom have testified that these Edom were not here in this location, Aleph B'Nisan. We avoid that, we say no. The Edom on the Shtar are not really saying as much. They're just saying that a loan took place. They happen to date it based on today's date, Aleph B'Nisan, when they wrote the shtar. But it related to an event that took place a month earlier in this location, which they actually witnessed and were actually present at that event. Asks the Gemara, hold it. We're sort of twisting the facts here. We're sort of trying to justify what happened. Forcibly, so to speak, substantiate the Edus instead of knocking them off and overturning them, disproving them. Right? If drisha v'chakir, which is ostensibly this type of thing, it's investigation, it's challenging, it's critiquing. If that's required by dinei mamonos, heichi chayshinon, how can we go and suggest, present some sort of cover story to justify to substantiate what they're saying in the shtar. Right, to make it compatible with the new information just arrived. Because how can you say it was just written later after the fact? It goes against the grain, against the whole concept of Dushi V'chakira, which is meant to challenge, confirm, verify, be suspicious. Don't just trust and accept. Ask Stigmur V'litameich. Now, according to you, it's a major question, but I have just a side point here. Why did you ask for me Braisa? Tikshilach Masnissen. Preferably, you should have gone to a Mishnah, which is more, well known, Rashi says. People are more familiar with Mishnayos. We have a Mishnah. Shtarachayva Mugdom and Psulim. You have a predated loan document, which would theoretically allow, enable the lender to collect from assets sold from that day on, which is unfair because untrue. The loan didn't take place that early. So it's Psulim. Those documents are Psulim. Vamacharim Kshir. But let's say it's a post-dated loan document. So, it has Aleph Nisan on it, allegedly reflective of the loan taking place that day. But two Edom come along and say, one second, we saw that very loan. We were there. And it was a month earlier. So the shtar is really post-dated. Kshirin. Shtar is okay. Now, same question is going to be applied here. If we're meant to challenge, we're meant to verify, why do we accept this shtar? By justifying it, by substantiating it, as we explained, that really maybe it was just a post-dated document. That really the Edom who signed this document are related to that story, that loan that took place a month earlier, but they just signed a document and post-dated it. They wrote the shtar a month later. So it's really one and the same story. There's no contradiction between the various accounts of the teams of witnesses. Why are we saying that? Rather than just saying, well, this thing was forged. These people just concocted this document. Because the actual loan took place a month earlier, they're just faking it. They weren't there. They never witnessed it. The shtar is nothing. So although he actually borrowed money, well, we know, whether a month earlier, a month later. So Rashi says it'll be like a move up, a verbal loan, which can't doesn't have far-reaching consequences. You can't collect from buyers of the assets, etc. It doesn't have the same status as a documented loan. Why are we giving it the status of a documented loan when we can do otherwise? Doesn't Rishon HaKira dictate to us to knock things down, to challenge things, to suspect that it was a forged document? So why didn't you ask from this Mishnah to make your point? Well, says the Gemara, you know what? I actually prefer the Braisa, which contained a greater lesson. Halakash, this wouldn't be a kasha. Ladifa menno kamrina. We chose a better source. Dafilecha benisan bishmita, because that brisa described the case where the shtar featured a date of echad benisan on the seventh year, which is such an unlikely time to lend money. Rashi says people are hesitant to lend money on shmita for concern that their loan will be knocked off at the end of shmita. Right? Shmita cancels the very last day of shmita cancels loans, so it's very unlikely that if in fact the Edom witnessed this loan a while ago, but they just they documented it now with the current date, they wouldn't have done that. It's unlikely that they would have chosen, of all dates you're going to choose a date on Shemitah. If you're going to have to choose a date, just choose a date which is more likely, which sounds more reasonable, sounds more real, acceptable. Why would you choose a shaky date? A date that arouses suspicion, because it's not typical for people to lend money on Shemitah. So it gives us less reason to believe that in fact the Edom just post-dated it and chose this funny date. It's more likely that the reason why they chose this date is because they were claiming that the loan actually took place on that day. Okay, took place on that day, so they recorded the current date. That makes sense. Even this unlikely date, it's not typical for people to lend money on that date, which gives us less reason to believe that the Edom in fact witnessed the earlier loan, but they just decided to pick this random date. And undocumented on that day, and really, really it's reflective of an earlier event. It's unlikely. Because why would somebody want to put his shtar in question and pick a funny date which arouses suspicion. That's what I would think. Afilu hochi, no. Comes the bryce and says, no, no. We're going to assume that it was exactly as we supposed, as we suggested. That in fact the loan took place earlier. In accordance with the account of the new pair of Edom who are testifying that the first pair of Edom were not at that location during Echad ben Nisan, where the loan allegedly took place. So we'll assume, no, the loan took place earlier. And they were actually there on Echad ba'Adar. They just, you know, postponed the writing of the shtar. And that's how it came to be that we have a shtar with Echad ben Nisan. And the reason is because people do lend money on Shemitah because it's only the very last part of Shemitah, the very last moment of Shemitah, which is Mishametas, that cancels loan. So, you know, that's why they chose a Shemitah date, because it is still a time to lend money. Even though it's unlikely, it doesn't sound good, but in order to keep things alive, we're going to assume, we're going to theorize that that's what happened. They happened to pick this date to write the shtar, and therefore, machshirinan, we accept the shtar, despite all, you know, all questions and all uncertainties we have. So that explains why we chose the Braisa as our source, as the basis for our question. Because the Braisa contains a mega chiddush. Even in this type of very questionable situation, we accept it. Okay, at the end of the day, we have a kasha, right? What's the bottom line? Mishnah says, the Risha v'chakira applies to Dine Mamnas. Dine Mamnas undergoes a rigorous investigative process. And here in the Braisa, we seem to sort of substantiate all kinds of questionable situations. Mikom kash. So we have several approaches to resolve this question. Simon Charpash. Omer Chanina. Dvar Tevens. Minat Torah. Omer Rabbanu. You write Minat Torah. Dvar Torah, which is the position of our Mishnah. It's going on the source. Minat Torah. Echad Dine Mamnas. Echad Dine Nefashis. As per our Mishnah. So why is it that Rabbona don't require a rigorous Drisha v'chakira process by Dine Mamnas? They suspended it to encourage money lending. Because otherwise you're making it too difficult for the lender. He's afraid that he might not get his money back. We don't want doors slamming in front of borrowers. Asks the Gemara Lemi'ata Torah Lo Yisham. Okay, if we're suspending Drisha v'chakira, suppose the Dayanim in Dine Mamnas error, they made a mistake. Right? They shouldn't have to pay up. They shouldn't be responsible for their mistakes, because they can say, look, had we been allowed, had you untied our hands and been allowed to pursue due process and actually apply a rigorous process of Drisha v'chakira, we would have uncovered the truth as is. We never would have made this mistake. So why are they responsible? Answer is Kolshkin, because otherwise it makes it even more unlikely for people to lend money. Shatino delas b'fnei loibin. You know why? Because lenders are going to say, well, I'm afraid to get involved in lending money because I might end up in the bezn and the dayana might make a big mistake and rule against me, and then they're not going to be responsible. So we have to keep that responsibility and in their hands. And yeah, Rava Amar, here's another terrorist to the kasha. The mission says, we need Drisha v'chakira, the Braisa says we don't. Masnisin da'ach ha'b'dinei knosos. You know why Amish is speaking about penalty issues? That requires a proper process. V'idach bo'idah's balvois. But the other mission, the Braisa, is speaking about loan issues. Ha'idah's, he admitted to borrowing the money, v'halvois, the admin saw the loans. So over there, it's regular dinei mamonis. We're concerned about nilas delas. We don't apply dinei Drisha v'chakira. Third teretz, Rav Papa Amar, whether it's the Mishnah, the Braisa, we're speaking about loan issues. Kan b'din meruba, the Mishnah, which requires Drisha v'chakira, speaking where it's a din meruma, the dayanim smell something fishy, for a dishonest man, we sense that there's something wrong. We do Drisha v'chakira. Kan b'din sheini meruba, but if it's just a standard pras, standard delegation, standard bezin, standard in Torah, we have to find nothing unusual, then we don't suspect any cheating, any, you know, anything unusual, and there we don't do Drisha v'chakira, we just follow a basic simplified process. Kidrei Shlokish, in line with Rish Lakish, who makes this distinction between a din meruma, which requires more effort than otherwise. The Rish Lakish Rami, he had a contradiction. Ksiv b'tzedek tishpoit am yisecha. One pasuk says, judge your colleague with tzedek, with fairness. So one time tzedek, a basic system. Uksiv tzedek tzedek tirdeif. We have a double tzedek. How's that? Okay, tzad. Oh, kam b'nim meruma. If the din requires it, we have to do a double investigation. Kam b'din shem meruma, but in a standard, straightforward case, where nothing seems to be out of step, then we just do a standard system without drisha v'chakir. Rav Ashi Yomar Masnissin Kedishana. Rashi says, look, the Mishnah, or the Mishnayis, the Brises, can be answered, as we explained, one of three terutzin. But in terms of the apparent contradiction that Rish Lakish raised in the Psukim Kroi, I have another pshat to resolve that. Echad ladin, echad lepshara. Tzedek, tzedek. One is, do din with fairness. One is, do pishara, even compromise. When you resort to compromise, do it tzedek, with fairness. You can't just, okay, this is what we're going to do, compromise, boom. It has to make sense. It has to be based, it has to be close to din. As we find in the following example, where a pshara is going to be applied, but with fairness, with tzedek, ketzad, shtei svinois, oivreis benar. Okay, we're going to discuss rules of the road, rules of the sea. You have two cargo ships passing through the narrow river. Upogaze baze, okay, they're stuck next to each other. There is no room for both to pass. Im oivreis shtein, they both pass at once, they both sink, shtein toivreis. Bezer chasev, they follow each other, shtein oivreis, they'll go through successfully. Or another example, chen shnei gmalim. Sho'oidlam v'malis beizchor, you have two camels trying to get through a narrow mountain pass. Upogaze baze, okay, they're stuck next to each other. Im olor shnei, they both pass at once, shnei noivreis, they both fall, and whatever. Bezer chasev, they pass single file, shnei oivreis, they both pass through successfully. So which one goes first? Okay, so how do you do it? Tuna, if one ship is laden, a laden cargo ship, v'she'ena tuna, the other one is empty. So the loaded one goes first. Tidache to u'she'ena tuna. The empty one will be cast aside with me tuna to allow the loaded one through. It's more important for him to go through. He has the right of way. Kroiva u'she'ena kroiva. On the other hand, if you have one ship close to home, so he's not such a big rush, not so desperate to get through. Shein HaKroiva, the other one is from far away. Tidach HaKroiva. Shein HaKroiva, the one close to home has to make way for the other one to get through. So that's din. Okay, now we come to Pshara. Let's say we have no easy way to resolve this right-of-way issue. Let's say both are living nearby, both are far away. So in this case, you have to compromise. Hatal pshara binen, you have to make a pshara. But umalois schar zulazu. How do you do that? By having one pay the other one off. Look, I'm going to be sitting here in traffic for an hour because of you. Pay me for my time. So that's the tzedek that's applied to pshara. Tamar bonam. Furthermore, on this pasuk with tzedek, tzedek tirdeif, pursue the absolute MS. Go to the best bezin you can access. Haleich achar bezin yafa. For example, go follow Achar Rabbi Lezer to his bezin in the town of Lud. Achar Rabbi Yechon Zakai to the town of Baruchel, the Baruchel. Tana, on account of mentioning Baruchel, which was the name of the Rabbi Yechon Zakai's town, Tana, we learned in Hebraic that this was during the time of Shemad, when the Romans forbade them to do the bris, so they had to do things with Morse code. Tana, koil rechaim beburni. You're in the town of Burni, and you hear the sound of the grinders, the millstone, preparing the medicine for the baby's bris, then you know it's a bris coming. Shavua ben. It's called Shavua ben because it comes after 7 days after birth. You have a Oyer Haner. You see candles in the town of Beboruchayil. Then you know it's a wedding. Mishtasham. Interestingly, Rabbi Chanana learns that it's a wedding. Taisa seems to learn that it's a bris milah because he says Mikan nohagul lahadlik nebr milah. Based on this Gemara, we have a minhag to light candles by a bris milah. We have expert bezins that you have to go to get the best din Torah. Go to the yeshiva, go to where the permanent bezin is sitting, rather than going to an improvised, ad hoc, local bezin. Try to go to the best bezin to gain proper clarity. For instance, Achar Rabbi Lezer Lelud, Achar Rechon Zakel Baruch Hayel, like we said before, Achar Rishol Lepkin, so all these Tanoim Amiroim were stationed in these respective towns. That's where they held court. Acharam Lil Yavna. Achar Rukiva le Bnei Brak, Achar Masla Ruma, Raimi, Achar Chanani ben Tradin, le Tertan of Sichni, Achar Biesa le Tertan of Tzipayri, Achar Vidrimse le Tertan of Netzivan, Achar Bshod le Goyla, Rashi says Goyla is the area of Pompadiso in Babel, Achar Rebbe le Bei Sharm, Achar Chachamim, if you can get to the best, that's Lishkas HaGazel, that's the Grand Bezin in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Dini Maman is Poischin. By Dini Mamanis, we don't hesitate to begin positively or negatively, or this is going to end up costing you, or you're going to end up winning, right? Either way. But by Dini Nefashos, we start with a positive reference to his status. How do we do that? Hechi Amrinun. Om Rabbi Dohechi Amrinun, we tell the Edom, look, you're testifying against this person, you want to bring about capital punishment, me, hey, Mark, who says the facts are as you present it? So we sort of challenge them directly. That's how we start, once we hear the Edus, that's how we start the process to put it sort of in a positive light. Amar le'ulo, how could you do that? How could you intimidate the Edom? V'chasminilu, we're intimidating them. V'lechasmu, who cares? Let us do that. Milu atani, don't we find, or b'shimun melozo eimer, ma'siyin as the Edom, makam, we would shove them around. We bring the Edom from one place to the other, oh, come here, come there. To disorient them, kadesh titorev daita, so we disorient them, v'yachshben, hoping that if they're falsifying, they'll turn around. So, same here, let's challenge the Edom directly to their face. No, said the, well, that's going too far. Midomi, how could you compare? Huh? Some male commit, there, you're just moving them around. If they start getting, cold feet, it's their issue. Huh? Kadachim will be a dime. Here we're doing it directly. We're challenging their credibility. That's going too far. And Rashi says, you know what? On the one hand, it's a delicate balance. We say, v'itzilu way, do we have to endeavor to protect, to exonerate this person? But there's another pasuk. U'bi'arta hara mikirbecha, you have to uproot evil from amongst you. So you have to carry out a proper din Torah. So going directly against them and challenge them, that's going a bit too far. They might change their mind, they might go back on their words, even though they're saying the truth. Ella Marula rather says, Ula Chamrinu, we tell the fellow that's being testified against, the fellow on the, Yesh Lecha Edom Lazimam, tell us, do you have Edom perhaps that can testify against these incriminating Edom, make them Edom Zayimimin? Amuli Rabba, Vechi Poischin Beschusse Shal Zeh Shichei Vasa Shal Zeh. I mean, on the one hand, you're defending this person, you're encouraging him to go find Edom, but if he in fact is successful because of our advice to him, you know what's going to happen? He's going to incriminate the Edom, and they're going to get punished. So what right do we have to take his side at their expense? Asks the Gemara, but hold it. We're speaking before the verdict was issued, so in any case, at worst case, they're not considered Edom Zayimimin to the extent that they're going to be punished. Why is it to the detriment of the Edom? We have a Mishnah, they will never get killed, unless they became Edom Zayimin after the verdict was issued against this person. So it's still early in the process. That's not going to happen at this point. Well, it could, if he waits it out, to get back at them, take revenge at them. Hachi Amina, that's what we mean to say. Ilu Shasik. Once we give him that advice, he might just play dumb, knowing that he has Edom that can undo their testimony. Ilu Shasik, if he waits quietly, ad migmar din, until his verdict is issued, and then he wakes up, and he brings Edom to be mazam, those bad Edom, turns out that our input was at their expense. That's unfair. Elam Rava says, Rava, Amrin, let me tell him. Not Edom Zayimin. Yishlach Edom Lachishon, perhaps. Can you recall Edom that will come and contradict the facts to cancel out their testimony? That's not Hazama. That's not going to bring them any punishment. So that's fair. Rav Kana Omar has another pshat. Midirechem nestake pleni. When the mission says, v'paisech l'schus, after we hear the testimony, we say, well, actually, you know what? We think that based on your information, the Edom's information, we're going to exonerate this person. That's how we start. We put it that, we set it down on that mood, we give it a positive twist. Abayi Ram and Amr Tavai, they both explain that it's done differently. I mean, we turn to the nidoy, to the person who's being judged. Eloi katlas leisitchal. You know what? If you didn't really kill anybody, don't we? No fear, no worries. So we give him a bit of encouragement. That's considered poison leschus. Ravashi Amr. We make this declaration. You know what? Anybody that has anything positive to say in defense of this person, come forth. So we have many pshatim to explain the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, But we have a raya to Abaye v'Rava. Tanakh may say that Abaye v'Rava, that we encourage the person, Rabbi Omer. Rabbi says this is by the Soita. Im Lishach, Avish Oisach, Im Lishatis. The Kohen tells her, look, I'm concerned that perhaps you strayed from your husband, you got involved with a stranger, but if you didn't, don't worry. So you see that we start with a positive note of encouragement to the person, and the Braisa actually relates it to our Mishnah Mikan based on this pasuk, where we see that the pasuk begins with a positive reference to the person Mikan Shepoischen that we initiate. We start off Bedini Nefashas Tchila Lezechus. So that's in accordance with Abaye's Pshat in the Mishnah. So again, we have a Mishnah which begins with Echad Dinei Mamnas O Dinei Nefashas Havdusha V'Chakira. We have a stira from a Mishnah, from a Braisa. The Gemara gave several Pshatim. When a Torah requires, the Rabbanan doesn't. Dinei Knosses does. Haidos Vahavos do not. Or by Dimeruma, it does, otherwise not. We discussed Tzedek Tzedek Tirdeif, several Pshatim. And then we went on to the distinctions found in the Mishnah between Dinei Mamnas, Dinei Nefashas, the amount of Dayanim. We start with a positive twist by Dinei Nefashas. We have several Pshatim and concluded with a raya to Abaye's Pshat that it's a word of encouragement to the person being judged. All the best to you and Atzlacharav.